Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Imagine waking up to the roar of military jets and the thunder of 27,000 troops landing in your city. What was Operation Just Cause, and why did the U.S. send such a massive force to Panama? How did the local population react to this sudden invasion, and what were the key events that unfolded during this dramatic operation? In tonight's episode, we'll dive into the political and strategic reasons behind this bold move, explore the chaos that followed, and reveal the operation's outcome and long-term consequences. You'll hear about the major battles, the international response, and the controversial actions that have left a lasting impact on history. So strap in and stay tuned to learn about the critical figures who led the charge, the media's role in covering the events, and how this operation influenced future U.S. military strategies. We'll discuss the lessons learned from Operation Just Cause and its aftermath for both the troops involved and the people of Panama. Get ready to uncover the untold stories and shocking secrets behind Operation Just Cause. Hit that subscribe button, and let's get started. To understand Operation Just Cause, we need to start with the broader context of U.S.-Panama relations. The U.S. has had a long and complex history with Panama, largely due to the strategic importance of the Panama Canal. This vital waterway, completed in 1914, connects the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans and has been a crucial route for international maritime trade. For much of the 20th century, the U.S. maintained significant control over the canal zone, an arrangement that fostered both economic benefits and political tensions. By the late 1970s, the U.S. agreed to gradually transfer control of the canal to Panama, with full handover scheduled for December 31, 1999. This agreement was intended to improve U.S.-Panama relations, but also created power vacuums and political instability within Panama. In the midst of this shifting power dynamic, Manuel Noriega emerged as a key figure. Originally a military officer, Noriega rose through the ranks of the Panamanian National Guard, eventually becoming the de facto ruler of Panama in 1983. Known for his intelligence connections and ruthless tactics, Noriega was initially a valuable ally to the Americans during the Cold War, providing intelligence and support against communist movements in Central America. However, Noriega's regime was marred by corruption, human rights abuse, and involvement in drug trafficking. His relationship with the U.S. began to deteriorate as evidence of his illicit activities grew. By the late 1980s, Noriega's actions had become a significant liability for the U.S., culminating in increasing tensions and calls for his removal. The U.S. had several key interests in Panama that made stability in the region a priority. First and foremost was the security and operation of the Panama Canal. Ensuring the canal remained open and accessible was crucial for global trade and U.S. naval operations. Any disruption posed a significant economic and strategic threat. Additionally, the U.S. had broader geopolitical interests in maintaining a stable and friendly government in Panama. During the Cold War, Panama's strategic location made it a valuable ally in countering Soviet influence in Latin America. The rise of an unpredictable and hostile regime under Noriega threatened these interests and prompted a reassessment of U.S. policy towards Panama. By the late 1980s, the situation had reached a boiling point. The combination of Noriega's increasing defiance, the threat to the Panama Canal, and the destabilizing impact of his drug trafficking activities led the U.S. to consider more drastic measures. This set the stage for the dramatic and controversial intervention known as Operation Just Cause. Operation Just Cause was driven by a combination of political and strategic motivations that converged to create a compelling case for U.S. intervention in Panama. One primary reason was the need to protect U.S. citizens living in Panama. By 1989, around 35,000 U.S. citizens resided in the canal zone and other parts of Panama. Their safety became a growing concern as the political situation deteriorated and Noriega's regime became increasingly hostile towards Americans. Another key motivation was the U.S. commitment to defending democracy. Noriega's authoritarian rule, marked by election fraud and political repression, posed a direct challenge to democratic principles. The U.S. government viewed his removal as essential for promoting, democratic governance in Panama and the broader region. Combating drug trafficking was also a crucial factor. Noriega's involvement in the drug trade, particularly his connections with Colombian cartels, made him a significant player in the global narcotics network. His regime facilitated the trafficking of vast quantities of drugs into the U.S., exacerbating the domestic drug crisis. Removing Noriega was seen as a critical step in disrupting these criminal activities and reducing the flow of drugs. There were several specific incidents that further escalated tensions and underscored the urgency of U.S. intervention. One of the most significant was the killing of a U.S. Marine, Lieutenant Robert Paz, on December 16, 1989. He was shot and killed by Panamanian Defense Forces at a roadblock in Panama City. This incident, along with the harassment and detainment of other U.S. military personnel, inflamed public opinion in the U.S. and heightened calls for decisive action. Additionally, the PDF's increasing aggression towards U.S. citizens and military personnel created an untenable situation. Reports of assaults, detentions, and abuses by Noriega's forces contributed to the perception that immediate intervention was necessary to protect American lives and restore order. In response to these escalating threats, President George H.W. Bush made a formal announcement on December 20, 1989, justifying the invasion of Panama. In his address, President Bush outlined the four primary objectives of Operation Just Cause. Number one, safeguarding American lives. Number two, defending democracy in Panama. Number three, combating drug trafficking. And number four, securing the Panama Canal. So now we're going to dive deeper into the invasion Operation Just Cause in this segment. In the early hours of December 20th, 1989, Operation Just Cause was launched. This marked the beginning of one of the largest and most rapid military interventions in U.S. history. At precisely 1 a.m. local time, the skies over Panama City were filled with the roar of military aircraft and the thunderous approach of helicopters and paratroopers, signaling the start of a coordinated and highly complex operation. The invasion involved an impressive and formidable array of U.S. military forces. A total of 27,000 U.S. troops were deployed, supported by an additional 12,000 personnel already stationed in Panama. This massive force was a testament to the U.S. commitment to achieving its objectives swiftly and decisively. Some of the key units that played critical roles in the operation include the 82nd Airborne Division. Known for their rapid deployment capabilities, the paratroopers of the 82nd Airborne Division were instrumental in seizing and securing key objectives quickly. And then we had the 75th Ranger Regiment. Rangers executed highly specialized and high-risk missions, including direct assaults on key targets and the capture of strategic locations. And then, of course, we had the U.S. Marine Corps. Marine units provided crucial ground support and engaged in urban combat, playing a significant role in securing areas of Panama City and other urban centers. And then we had Special Operation Forces. Elite units, including Navy SEALs and Delta Force, carried out covert operations to capture high-value targets and neutralize key points of resistance. And last but not least, you had the Air Force and the Navy. These branches provided critical air and naval support, conducting bombing runs, airstrikes, and naval blockades to ensure air superiority and maritime security. The initial phase of Operation Just Cause focused on several primary objectives designed to dismantle Noriega's regime and restore order. Number one, securing key locations. Number two, capturing Manuel Noriega. And three, disabling the Panamanian Defense Forces. The initial hours of Operation Just Cause were marked by intense and coordinated military actions, with U.S. forces swiftly achieving their objectives. Key locations were secured, resistance from the PDF were largely neutralized, and the stage was set for the next phase of the operation. The decisive and well-executed invasion demonstrated the overwhelming military power of the U.S. and set the tone for the subsequent efforts to stabilize Panama and capture Noriega. And now we're going to take a look at some of the major battles and key events of Operation Just Cause. Starting off with the assault on the PDF headquarters. One of the most significant and intense confrontations during Operation Just Cause. Apologies for butchering this, but it's the Battle of La Comandancia, located in Panama City. It served as the headquarters of the Panamanian Defense Forces and a symbol of Noriega's power. In the early hours of December 20th, 1989, U.S. forces launched a coordinated assault on the headquarters. This operation involved elements of the 82nd Airborne, Special Operation Forces, and other units. The objective was to neutralize the PDF's command and control center swiftly. The battle was fierce with heavy resistance from entrenched PDF forces. The assault began with precision airstrikes and artillery bombardments to soften the defenses. Paratroopers and Rangers then moved to engage the PDF in close quarters combat. The fighting was intense and chaotic, with both sides sustaining casualties. Despite the PDF's determined defense, U.S. forces ultimately overpowered them, capturing La Comandancia and dismantling the PDF's central command structure. The fall of the headquarters was a crucial turning point in the operation and severely crippled Noriega's military capabilities. And now, we're going to discuss the capture of key infrastructure, including airports, bridges, and communication centers. Securing key infrastructure was a primary objective of Operation Just Cause. This included the capture of airports, bridges, and communication centers to ensure U.S. control over vital logistics and strategic points. So one of the first targets was the main international airport in Panama City. Securing this airport was crucial for allowing the rapid deployment of additional American forces and ensuring control over air traffic. Paratroopers from the 82nd Airborne executed a successful airborne assault, quickly seizing the airport and establishing a secure perimeter. And then we have the Rio Hato Airfield. Another critical objective was the airfield, which housed a significant PDF presence. U.S. forces conducted a nighttime airborne assault, facing stiff resistance from PDF troops. But despite the challenge, the airfield was captured and PDF forces were neutralized. The U.S. also targeted key bridges and communication centers to disrupt the PDF's ability to coordinate and regroup. The capture of these strategic points prevented the movement of PDF reinforcements and ensured U.S. dominance over critical infrastructure. Urban combat in Panama City presented unique challenges for U.S. forces. The dense urban environment combined with the presence of civilians required precise and careful operations to minimize collateral damage. The PDF used the urban terrain to their advantage, setting up ambushes and defensive positions within buildings and narrow streets. Civilians were often caught in the crossfire, complicating the rules of engagement for U.S. troops. Additionally, the risk of friendly fire incidents was heightened in the chaotic urban setting. U.S. forces employed a combination of air support, artillery, and infantry to clear PDF positions systematically. Special Operation Forces conducted raids on high-value targets, which regular infantry units secured neighborhoods and key facilities. Psychological operations were also employed to demoralize PDF troops and encourage surrender. One notable tactic was the use of loudspeakers and psychological warfare to pressure Noriega and his loyalists. U.S. forces played loud music and used loudspeakers to broadcast messages urging PDF soldiers to surrender. This strategy was particularly effective in the final stages of the operation. The urban combat phase was intense and required careful coordination between different branches of the U.S. military. Despite the difficulties, U.S. forces were able to secure Panama City, neutralizing the PDF's urban defenses, and pave the way for the eventual capture of Manuel Noriega. These major battles and key events were crucial in determining the outcome of Operation Just Cause. The successful execution of these operations showcased the effectiveness of U.S. military strategy and set the stage for subsequent stabilization and reconstruction efforts in Panama. And of course, as we discuss war and Operation Just Cause, we have to also take a look at the impact on the local population. The rapid and intense nature of Operation Just Cause had consequences for the local population in Panama. One of the most immediate and tragic impacts was the civilian casualties. Estimates of civilian deaths vary, with numbers ranging from several hundred to over 1,000. Many civilians were caught in the crossfire during urban combat, and some were killed in the initial airstrike airstrikes, and bombardments. Displacement was another major issue. The invasion forced thousands of Panamanians to flee their homes to escape the violence. Refugees sought shelter in safer areas, with many taking refuge in makeshift camps or with relatives. The sudden influx of displaced people strained local resources and created humanitarian challenges. The humanitarian impact of Operation Just Cause was profound and far-reaching. The intense combat and strategic bombings caused extensive damage to homes, businesses, and public infrastructure. In Panama City and other affected areas, entire neighborhoods were devastated, with buildings reduced to rubble and basic services disrupted. The destruction of infrastructure, including critical facilities such as water supply systems, power grids, and communication networks. The damage to these essential services further exacerbate the suffering of the local population, making it difficult to access clean water, electricity, and communication. The local economy also suffered significant setbacks. Many businesses were destroyed or looted during the chaos, leading to a loss of livelihoods for countless Panamanians. The disruption of trade and daily commerce had a ripple effect, causing economic instability and hardship for many families. And now we're going to take a look at the international relation.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Reaction and media coverage of Operation Just Cause. The international reaction to Operation Just Cause was mixed, reflecting the complexity and controversy of the American intervention in Panama. Various countries and organizations expressed a range of responses, from support to condemnation to neutrality. When it comes to support, some countries, particularly those closely allied with the U.S., expressed support for the intervention. They viewed the operation as a necessary step to restore democracy and stability in Panama. These nations often echoed the U.S.'s government's justifications, emphasizing the need to combat drug trafficking and protect American citizens. Conversely, many countries, especially in Latin America, condemned the invasion. They criticized it as a violation of Panama's sovereignty and an example of U.S. imperialism. Governments and political leaders in these countries argued that the operation set a dangerous precedent for foreign intervention in domestic affairs. And then, several nations adopted a neutral stance, neither fully supported nor condemned the U.S. actions. These countries often called for a peaceful resolution to the conflict and urged respect for international law and the sovereignty of nations. So now we're going to take a look at the role of the UN and international organizations. The United Nations and various international organizations also played significant roles in responding to Operation Just Cause. The UN General Assembly passed a resolution condemning the invasion as a violation of international law. However, the Security Council did not pass a similar resolution due to vetoes by the U.S. and its allies. This reflected the geopolitical tensions and different perspectives on the legitimacy of the operation. And then, the Organization of American States, which included many Latin American countries, was particularly vocal in its criticism. The OAS called for an immediate end to the hostilities and the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Panama. The organization emphasized the principles of non-intervention and respect for sovereignty. Various human rights organizations expressed concerns about the impact of the invasion on civilians. They highlighted reports of civilian casualties and called for investigations into potential human rights abuse by both U.S. and Panamanian forces. So now we're going to take a look at the media coverage and how the operation was reported globally and domestically. The media played a crucial role in shaping the public perception of Operation Just Cause, both in the U.S. and around the world. The coverage varied widely, reflecting differing political perspectives and journalistic standards. In the U.S., the media coverage was generally supportive of the invasion, particularly in the initial stages. Many news outlets highlighted justifications provided by the U.S. government, such as protecting American lives and combating drug trafficking. The rapid success of the military operation and the capture of Noriega were portrayed as significant victories. However, as more information emerged about civilian casualties and the humanitarian impact, some media began to question the operation's conduct and consequences. Global media coverage was more varied. In Latin America, many outlets were critical of the invasion, reflecting the widespread regional condemnation. European media presented a mix of viewpoints, with some outlets supporting the intervention and others criticizing it as an overreach of U.S. power. The global media also reported extensively on the civilian impact, highlighting the destruction and displacement caused by the invasion. The differing media narratives influenced public opinion and diplomatic responses. In the U.S., the initial media support helped bolster domestic approval for the operation. And in contrast, the critical international coverage fueled protests and diplomatic pushback against U.S. actions. And now, of course, we got to address the capture and surrender of Manuel Noriega. As Operation Just Cause unfolded and U.S. forces swiftly gained control over key strategic locations, Manuel Noriega found himself increasingly isolated and desperate. Realizing that his military capabilities were severely compromised and that his regime was collapsing, Noriega attempted to evade capture by seeking refuge in the diplomatic sanctuary of the Vatican Embassy in Panama City on December 24, 1989. Noriega believed that that taking refuge in the Vatican embassy would provide him with diplomatic protection and prevent U.S. forces from apprehending him without causing an international incident. The embassy, a neutral and sovereign entity, became a temporary haven for Noriega as he sought to negotiate his way out of the crisis. However, his presence there created a diplomatic standoff, complicating efforts to bring him to justice. Recognizing the sensitive nature of storming the Vatican embassy and the potential diplomatic fallout, U.S. forces resorted to psychological operations to compel Noriega's surrender. These operations were designed to create an environment of constant stress and discomfort, breaking down Noriega's resolve to remain holed up in the embassy. One of the most notable tactics was the use of loudspeakers to blast loud music, including rock and heavy metal, at the embassy around the clock. This incessant noise barrage featured songs like Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses and Panama by Van Halen. It was intended to disrupt Noriega's sleep and create psychological pressure. The relentless noise made it nearly impossible for him to rest or think clearly, eroding his mental and physical stamina. In addition to the loud music, U.S. forces also employed other psychological tactics, such as broadcasting messages urging Noriega to surrender and highlighting the futility of his situation. These messages emphasized that his options were dwindling and that continued resistance would only prolong his suffering and endanger those around him. The psychological pressure and deteriorating conditions within the embassy eventually took their toll on Noriega. After 10 days of enduring the psychological operations campaign and realizing that his situation was untenable, Noriega decided to surrender. On January 3, 1990, he emerged from the Vatican embassy and was taken into custody by U.S. forces. Noriega's capture marked the culmination of Operation Just Cause and was a significant victory for the U.S. military and government. It signified the end of his dictatorial regime and opened the door for the restoration of democratic governance in Panama. Following his capture, Noriega was promptly extradited to the U.S. to face charges of drug trafficking, racketeering, and money laundering. He was flown to Miami, Florida, where he was tried in a U.S. federal court. In 1992, Noriega was convicted on multiple charges and sentenced to 40 years in prison, later reduced to 30 years. His conviction was a landmark case, underscoring the U.S. commitment to combating international drug trafficking and holding corrupt leaders accountable. And now we're going to take a look at some of the immediate outcomes and achievements of Operation Just Cause. Starting off with the overthrow of Noriega and dismantling the PDF, one of the most significant immediate outcomes was the overthrow of Manuel Noriega and the dismantling of the Panamanian Defense Forces. The rapid and decisive military action by U.S. forces effectively neutralized the PDF, dismantling Noriega's primary means of maintaining power. Key military installations were captured and the PDF's command and control structure was obliterated, rendering the organization incapable of mounting any effective resistance or counteroffensive. Noriega's removal from power marked the end of his authoritarian regime, characterized by widespread corruption, human rights abuses, and involvement in drug trafficking. The fall of the PDF also removed a significant source of repression and violence, opening the way for democratic reforms and the establishment of a new government in Panama. In the wake of Noriega's overthrow, the U.S. facilitated the installation of Guillermo Endara as the new president of Panama. He had been the rightful winner of the May 1989 presidential election, while Noriega had annulled through fraud and intimidation. Recognizing the legitimacy of Endara's victory, the U.S. sought to restore him to office as a means of re-establishing democratic governance in Panama. On the day of the invasion, Endara was sworn in as president in a U.S. military base in Panama. This symbolic act underscored his commitment to restoring democratic rule and signaled a new era for Panamanian politics. Endara's administration, supported by the U.S., immediately began the challenging task of rebuilding the nation and addressing the legacies of Noriega's dictatorship. With the collapse of Noriega's regime and the dismantling of the PDF, the immediate focus shifted to restoring order and initiating the reconstruction process. U.S. forces, alongside Panamanian authorities, worked to stabilize the situation secure public safety, and ensure the continuity of essential services. The immediate outcomes and achievements of Operation Just Cause were significant. The overthrow of Noriega and dismantling of the PDF removed a major source of instability and repression in Panama. The installation of Guillermo Endara as president marked the restoration of democratic governance, while the efforts to restore order and begin reconstruction laid the foundation for Panama's recovery and future development. These steps were crucial in transforming Panama from a dictatorship plagued by corruption and violence into a more stable and democratic society, setting the stage for a long-term peace and prosperity. And like most wars and invasions, we have to address some of the controversies and criticisms of Operation Just Cause. Operation Just Cause was not without its controversies and criticisms, particularly regarding its legality and ethical implications. Critics argued that the U.S. invasion of Panama violated international law and the principles of sovereignty. The unilateral decision to intervene in another nation's affairs without explicit authorization from the UN Security Council was seen by many as an act of aggression and a breach of international norms. Legal scholars and international bodies raised questions about the justification provided by the U.S. government. While the official reasons included protecting U.S. citizens, defending democracy, and combating drug trafficking, detractors contended that these reasons did not sufficiently warrant a full-scale military invasion. They argued that diplomatic and economic measures should have been exhausted before resorting to force. One of the most significant points of contention was the use of excessive force and the resultant civilian casualties. Reports of intense bombing campaigns, heavy artillery, and aggressive urban combat raised serious concerns about the proportionality and necessity of the military tactics employed. Numerous human rights organizations documented instances of civilian deaths and injuries, highlighting the toll on innocent Panamanians. Estimates of civilian casualties vary, but even the most conservative figures suggest that hundreds of civilians lost their lives during the operation. The destruction of home, businesses, and infrastructure further exacerbated the humanitarian impact, leading to widespread displacement and suffering. And now we're going to take a look at the debates on the true motivation behind the invasion. Beyond immediate justification provided, there were considerable debate about the true motivations behind the operation. Some analysts and critics argued that the invasion was driven more by geopolitical and strategic interests than by stated goals of protecting U.S. citizens and promoting democracy. These debates on the underlying motivation for the invasion added layers of complexity to the public discourse surrounding Operation Just Cause. While some viewed the intervention as a necessary and justified action to remove a corrupt dictator and restore democracy, others saw it as an example of U.S. imperialism driven by self-interest. But now we're going to take a look back and reflect on the historical significance of Operation Just Cause. Operation Just Cause holds a significant place in U.S. military and international history due to its scope, execution, and outcomes. As one of the largest and most rapid military interventions in U.S. history, it demonstrated the country's ability to project power swiftly and decisively. The operation marked the end of Manuel Noriega's authoritarian regime, leading to a transition towards democratic governance in Panama. The invasion also served as a critical case study in the application of military force for political objectives. It showcased the U.S. military's capabilities in conducting joint operations, urban warfare, and psychological operations. Moreover, it underscored the complex interplay between military action and international law, raising important questions about the legality and ethics of intervention. When compared to other U.S. military operations, Operation Just Cause stands out for its scale, speed, and the clear objectives set forth by the U.S. government. It shares similarities with other interventions aimed at regime change, such as the invasion of Grenada and Iraq in 2003, in terms of the justification of protecting U.S. interests and promoting democracy. Like Operation Just Cause, the U.S. invasion of Grenada was justified on the grounds of protecting American citizens and restoring democracy. Both operations involved rapid deployment and decisive action to achieve their objectives. However, the scale of Operation Just Cause was much larger, involving significantly more troops and a more complex urban combat environment. In 2003 Iraq, the invasion of Iraq also involved the objective of removing a dictatorial regime and was justified by the U.S. on grounds of protecting national security and promoting democracy. While Operation Just Cause was completed relatively quickly, the invasion led to a prolonged conflict and occupation, highlighting the challenges of post-intervention stability and reconstruction. Operation Just Cause is often viewed as a successful example of a short-term military intervention with clear objectives, in contrast to the longer and more contentious engagements in Vietnam and Afghanistan, which involved extended counterinsurgency operations and nation-building efforts. And that is what we have for today's episode on Operation Just Cause. Give us your thoughts in the comments section below. Give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can go ahead and buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. Buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. Your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, be able to pay them, and hopefully take this show on the road. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.